Do thank you for all the people giving their lives and committed to the service, and that we're standing here because of their sacrifice, and we thank you to thousands upon thousands of men and women who have died in protecting this country and giving us our freedoms, and so we don't take that lightly. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us and give us insight into you. And so I pray, just come, Lord Jesus, come and speak to us. And Lord, open our hearts so we give all things to you. And I pray you to anoint me with your spirit. I speak only things of the spirit. So we listen to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to look, please. We're in John. Look at John chapter 8:38. John 8:38. And as you notice, the title is, Which Father? Which Father? John 8:38. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. You know, this is a real hard truth. Real hard truth. As you may know, I'm sure you know, is that I really do spend a lot of time in the Word. We usually go through books. Sometimes we do topical things. Most of the time we go through a book. I always think that's safe because it keeps you grounded, not going off where you shouldn't go. But also, I really do ask the Lord. I say, Lord, speak to me. I want you to show me something, or you look at the scriptures and you say, okay, how do you make that palatable, so you process through. So I go through that process, and to be perfectly honest with you, this is just being truthful. There's a scripture I don't want to preach. I really don't want to give the message. I mean, you look at it, I said, this is, this is me. I'm telling you how I think. I look at this and I go, this message is no fun. I mean, who wants to come and hear this? I mean, it's like, gosh. And so I go through that a lot. I watch these people on television. Every once in a while, I'll flip on and watch some pastors I like or something, or just, and they get up, you feel encouraged, and wow, you go out and win the world. And I'm thinking, gosh, a lot of my messages just aren't like that. I mean, it's Lord, And so I process and I think about that. Well, this is one of those messages. It's like, well, and I actually think about skipping it. It's like, well, they can read it and they can figure it out themselves, and then, I get convicted. But anyway, so that I'm just telling you how I process through. But I really do ask the Lord, to really give the message that he wants to give. Well, I went through that this morning, this same thing. And this was kind of encouraging. I feel like in general, that the Lord's very faithful and stay to the Word, and he gives me words to speak, on the scripture or to give for you to look and hopefully encourage you to read the Word. Well, I was going through this morning, so I'm looking at this. This is not a fun message. I mean, Memorial Day, you come in here. I hope you're not looking for a big celebration, because but it was one of these verses. It's like, and you even do this. You go, Jesus, why'd you say that? I mean, that wasn't very nice. I mean, sweet Jesus. I kid you sometimes, you have these pictures of Jesus, and he has a little lamb beside him. He's got a little kid beside him. That wasn't often. That wasn't often he was like that. I mean, Jesus was pretty direct. I mean, he was, pretty direct. And so, again, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I've had people, in a kind way, now I'm leading up to this, okay, so you can kind of walk through. I've had people come up to say, Wallace, you're really hard to listen to. He said, it's just hard Sunday after Sunday. You're just like relentless. And I thought, maybe I should do a message on joy. So anyway, there's But that's a term that's used. It's hard to listen to, and you're relentless. And I'm thinking, okay, well, here's one of these messages that this morning. And so it was too late this morning to skip it. So I had it. But the Lord really, and I asked the Lord to speak to me, you know, and you take that in context. But I really feel like the Lord. And I said, Lord, what are you supposed to do? Why do I have to give a message like this? Why do I feel like I have to? And he really spoke. It's fun, kind of every once in a while this happens. It's like when you have more of a sense, like he really does speak almost audibly, but it's not, but you just kind of walk. And what he said this morning, he said first, it was from 1 Peter 5:2, and he goes, Wallace, shepherd my flock. So I think that's what he's telling me to do, is to shepherd the flock. And you shepherd the flock, you have to say some things that aren't very comfortable sometimes to shepherd the flock. You know, if everybody could just come and you wouldn't need teachers or pastors, but he said, no, you need them, and they're supposed to shepherd. If they're doing their job, they're supposed to shepherd the flock. So anyway, I felt he told me this morning, no, just this is what you're supposed to speak on, shepherd the flock. All right? So here goes. Jesus, sweet Jesus, is addressing the people who have rejected him. There is a group, and these are religious people. They know what's going on. I mean, these folks, people forget that when Jesus is talking to these people, they knew, they had an Old Testament background. They knew what was going on. And for the most part, they rejected him. Reject him in the sense that they weren't following him. I mean, he was the biggest show in town, though. I mean, he could, you know, he had fed 5,000, really was 5,000 men plus women and children. I mean, he could pull an audience, but they weren't committed. They weren't following. They were fascinated. They're more fascinated with him. Except the Jewish leaders. They didn't see any humor in him at all. You know, they didn't like him, not even a little bit. So he's addressing these people, and what he says, okay, you get a big audience, you know, Gail Carter, you know, win friends and influence people, and, you know, we will have a seeker service and joy for everyone. And he says to them that he obeys his Father, and that they obey their Father. Okay? Jesus indicates that in this world, there are two distinct groups of people with two distinct fathers. Wallace, where'd you get that? Why are you saying that? Jesus said it. I even asked Jesus, you know, I don't want to say this. I mean, I can't believe you said it. But he said it. He says, I know what's going on here. I obey my Father. You obey your Father. Now, John also wrote 1 John. Okay, he also wrote 1 John. I've quoted this verse a lot. And it says this in 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God. And the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. I ask you a question. Who lies under the power of the evil one? The whole world. There's two groups of people. The two groups of people. Now, so much for inclusion. Right? So much for inclusion. Two groups of people. Now, these two groups, and there's clearly no middle ground. There's no middle ground whatsoever. To be born of God is to be safe from the power of the evil one. Not to be born of God is to be wholly under the power of the evil one. Remember, I want you back up here. This is what Jesus said. And, you know, I kind of joke this way, you know, you want to get a commentary, you want to go to seminary, you want to learn the deeps, ins and outs, you know. Yeah, you don't need none of that. You, no, just read it. It's clear. It's clear. You may want to get a commentary hoping you find somebody say, that's not in the original language. It's like, but no, it's there. So, where we are, we rejoice because we are under the protection of God. That's why we rejoice. We're under the protection of God. However, we need to understand that the world is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. Did you know that God presents the world as a dangerous place to live? He tells us that it's dangerous. And therefore, we need to be watchful, okay? Need to be watchful. So now, I didn't put an overhead on this because I thought it'd burn up the projector. Okay? I'm going to read the next verse that Jesus said. He said, we want, I'm being facetious. Y'all joke along with me. I mean, here is our seeker service. Okay, we're going to do and bring in seekers. All right? Here, come in, and we're going to sing song. Adam's going to be on his top. We're going to dance. We're going to be happy. This is our seeker service. And Jesus gives his next thought. All right? You ready? Got the folks gathered. Pay attention. No overhead. John 8. 44. You seekers, you are of your father, the devil, and you do, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. And that's your father. Well, there goes our seeker service. Did nothing. You know, there it goes. Who wants to come and hear that? You know, who wants to preach that? Who wants that to preach? You know. So you're going, oh my gosh. These words come directly off the sweet lips of Jesus. And this explains the danger and insanity of the present world. How many of you have asked in the last year, what are they doing? Why? What's wrong with them? Jesus, let me tell you. John 8:44. That's exactly what's wrong with them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing based on their father. That's why these people just lie. That's right. Because that's their native language. It's not an aberration. It's their native language. And they are the father of all lies. I told y'all you'd enjoy this morning. And you thought, oh my gosh. And also, Jesus, he is not politically correct. He is not even close. He is not inclusive. He's not. Well, you believe this way, but no, there's two groups. There's not 15 groups. There's two that Jesus says. Ones that believe me, and those that don't. Right there. So, and we, you know, it's like, and we know, now this is what got Jesus crucified. All right? So it's like, so what we have here, look at this picture. Jesus tells people opposing him that their father is the devil. And they do what the devil tells them. Jesus tells us that the devil is not some mischievous figure that plays tricks on us. Jesus clearly shows us that the devil is a murderer who desires our total destruction and our family's total destruction. Here's a little thing. Somebody shared this with me one time. I thought, oh my God. And he says, you watch kids in a family. And he says, the parents have an authority and a power. You go, it's kids, okay? And so, and kids are kids, okay? They can just drive you crazy. You just love them in 1 minute and hate them the next, you know? Okay? Here you got the kids, okay? You can, and then they will do, and they're just kids. But then they'll move out. They rebel. They rebel, and they move out from the authority of parents, okay? And they go nuts. They go crazy, absolutely crazy. Because what happens in the authority of the world, God works down through parents to children. That's how he works. That's an authority. Bible tells us. He comes down, and he works through parents to authority. So they're bouncing off the walls here, but they're under the parents' authority. And Satan can't get to them. He can't get to them. He bounces off the parents. And when the kid comes out from under the parents, Satan has a direct shot on the kids, and they'll do things you never imagine possible. They will go into depravity. They will go into bizarre activity that you didn't think they were capable of. Why? Because they're under direct attack from Satan. All he needs them to do is to move out from under your authority. Are you with me? That's what's happening. And so you see the picture. Well, how does he get them out? He's the father of lies. Hey, darling. Let me tell you how you can just have freedom and enjoy yourself. And your old mother, she's chewing you out. Here you can be away from her and free. Lie. And it's destructive. And it's to murder, not to trick. You see what I'm saying? You see what happened? And so this is what's happening. And I didn't mean to even get off on that. But that's Satan's tool. That's what he works. He is a liar and a murderer. And he wants, and we forget this. He's not a fun thing. You know, the devil wants to hurt us. He wants to hurt us. He wants to see us in pain. He wants to hurt us. And he's against all truth. He's against all truth. He's called the great deceiver. Deceiver. He is a liar. And again, it says he's the father of lies. Lying is his native language. That's how he speaks. Let me just share a little bit. Let me just open your mind. Lying is his native language. And he knows how to use it. He knows how to use it. The father of lies. And you know, we watch even the political realms, and it's like, I never seen like a bunch of liars in their life. I don't know how these people get home at night. I mean, they couldn't even follow a street sign. I mean, they're so confused. Why? Because they're under the influence of the father of lies. Do you see what's happening? Well, they're crazy. No, they're more than just crazy. They're under the influence. They're under the influence. See? Now, and so we see, now I'm going to say something. And this is, you know, I say it over again, and you think, well, this you didn't, you're talking about my neighbors, you know. The father of lies, his handiwork, you know, his religion. That's his handiwork. You know, and I'm just telling you, Mormons, Muslims, Hindus, liberal Christianity, it's his handiwork. It's the devil's handiwork. Well, they're sweet. They're sweetly sliding to hell. this week. Now, of course, we want to be nice and we share with them and everything. We want to do that. We want to do that. But we cannot forget that these religions are the tools of Satan, led by Satan. That's what they are. Well, let's be open. I just thought of a terrible curse word to say. No. No. You can't be open to Satan's lie. But they're so kind and they're so sweet. See, a murderer and an abuser and whatever, we can see them ushering themselves into hell. But those that are sweet, speaking sweet nothings in your ears, and say, oh, there's many ways, and be inclusive, and just be flexible, those people go to the same hell as the murderers and the abusers. Same hell. And Satan wins on both ends. And he's happy with both ends. You think, oh, he wants to kill people. No, he likes to sweet nothings in your ear and take a whole population. You see what I'm saying? That's what. And what did Jesus say that? Yeah, he just said it. You're the father. Your father's the devil. And you do what the devil does. That's what he says. That's what he says. And that's what he's saying right here. Remember, when Jesus is talking this, saying this, he's talking to his religious people. That's what he's saying it to. He says, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. So it's like, oh my goodness. Now, then he goes, it's like Jesus. He just won't quit. I mean, you think I'm relentless. I mean, he just won't quit. He just like, come on, we could take a break. You know, he's like, no. Don't be deceived. We're deceived. And I'm talking about the church being deceived. The world, you know, they got to be deceived because they're under the influence of the evil one. You know, so by definition, they are deceived. But the church, I don't know what the church is thinking, something, you know, don't be deceived. And it really is easy, brothers and sisters, it is really easy to discern someone's spiritual father. It really is. All you have to see is who they listen to. Well, let's study their doctrine. No, just who they listen to. But they're so... Who they listen to. There it is. Well, you can't be that black and white. You can't be that exclusive. Jesus was. He'd go, your father's the devil, and you do the work of the devil. But I feed the poor every Sunday. You're fattening them up for hell. You are your father, the devil. And you do the work of the devil. See, Jesus just said this. This is just said. Now, and don't think he's, well, gosh, he expects us to do that, and he's Jesus, he could get away with. No, they killed him. They killed him. They executed Jesus. The only difference with him and us, he knew he was going to get executed. Okay, he knew where he was going to head on that, which he did it anyway. So here we are, and we have, he says in John 8:47, this is all context. I mean, this is one message. John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God. Okay. He's just killing these secret services. I mean, you got them in here. Oh, you'll love this. No, they won't love it. You know what your problem is? You're not of God. The reason you can't hear this is because you're not of God. If you were of God, you could hear this. It's not. but, you know, we could explain it to knock yourself out. They're not going to hear. Because they're not of God. People, God will hear. Have you ever, I know this has happened to you. Have you ever shared with people and you say, and you just share with us, oh my gosh, oh, that's just, oh, that's wonderful about Christ. And then you share all the things, oh, I just don't see this, and what about this, and What about the people in China? What about the one person in Antarctica? What is it about? You know, what's the issue? Explanation? No, one's of God, one's not of God. People just, I mean, it's way simpler. Jesus makes it way simpler than what we do. You know, I have to, I'll tell you a funny story. I was here, and it's him. I'm not making fun of him. I mean, he's into what he's into, you know. I mean, he'd tell you that. And he was a Hindu, and he had his head all wrapped up. You know, they let the hair grow out, and then he wrapped up. So he had a big, you know, thing on, and he kind of had the pajama-looking clothes on, you know. So he was here at the church, and I drove up, and I was walking up. He's at the door. I said, hey, what's going on? He said, I thought, just look, and said, I had some time. Want to do some stuff around the church, help you mow, kind of pick things. I said, hey, we got some people to take care of that and stuff. And he said, good. He says, are you from this church? I said, yeah, I'm the pastor. He goes, oh man, I think I'm going to try to get y'all to do this. I mean, I really do. I think I deserve this. He goes, oh, you're the holy man. Come on. You could do that to me. You could do that to me, couldn't you? Now, come on. Hey, Wallace, you're the holy man. I thought, he almost converted me right there. I swear. Anyway, so I said, no, I'm not the holy one. I mean, I'm not the holy. Oh, yeah, you're a pastor of church, you're holy man. I said, no, I'm not the holy man. And I said, you know, and so I shared the gospel with him. You know, I went and shared. He just interacted. It's fine. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. He said, I understand, and you know that, you know, and he said, but you're the holy man. The holy man. And I'm going, I'm not the holy man. You're the holy. I said, not the holy man. Yes, you are the holy man. And we're getting in the fight, you know, like that. By the end of it, he was thinking, he's not acting holy, you know. It's like some. But we're at the front of the door, and here we are going back and forth. And this guy's telling me I'm holy, and I'm telling him I'm not. You know? He said, come in. Now, humor aside, that is some, just been lied to by Satan. Lied to, and where all avenues to Christ are gone. I mean, anybody call you the holy man, they're locked in Satan's, you know, lie. And so sadly, he's been lied to. He is bound to hell. Just it's like a murderer and him. They're bound to hell. That's what Jesus said. You're the Father. I could have told him, which would have probably been why I'm the Holy One. No, I'm not. And you are of your Father, the devil, and you're doing the devil's work. That's what was happening. Right? See, I'm telling you, this ends all these secret services, doesn't it? See, a lot of secret services, don't tell them the truth. You know, don't tell them the truth. A lot of you kind of, when I said it, so I'm going to repeat it. When he was there, I should have told him, you're your father, the devil, and you're doing the devil's work. That's true. He's nice, but that's true. That's true. And gosh, I'd hate to upset him. I'd rather not get upset and just go to hell without me upsetting him. We do that, don't we? We don't want to upset him. They'd be nice and to keep, you know? So we won't say we don't want to upset them. We're saying we want them to go to hell without us upsetting them. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, and I'm going to repeat this verse. This is what Jesus said. Jesus had a great secret service. I mean, he did some big stuff. I mean, there's thousands of people gathered. He did some big stuff. And he goes, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that because you are not of God. Just helps us look at it. Now, here's something else. I want to throw some things out here. So this is the big picture of Satan and the world, which God comes in to this world to save it. So God comes into this. That's the big picture. And talking about the world. It's under the control of the evil one. But what I want to touch on too is that there in this world, Satan moves on individuals to do his work. To do his work. Now, I want to share. It's the truth. I've had, I think, a couple of interactions with Satan. I really do. In hindsight, when I look back on it, I go, yeah, I really did. And it wasn't real obvious at the time. And when I look back, I'm like, oh, good grief. And, anyway, no time. One guy ran up to me one time, and he said, I am Jesus Christ. You know, and I thought, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to work. You know, but anyway, it really wasn't funny. But there was a dynamic that happened. So the Lord has shown me that there's an element of spiritual truth of how Satan works in the world. Now, how Satan works in the world is that he can manifest himself where he is a being, and the demons are beings, and you read through the gospel, and Jesus could see these guys. Okay, he saw them, and he dealt with them. And so you know we're there. But other than when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, being tempted, most of the time when Jesus dealt with these demons, he was dealing with people. See, usually demons, let's say, indwells a person. See, people, okay? So what you have is a demon is a person manifests himself in the person, all right? Now, they're good. I mean, they can get along. I mean, they can give you false doctrine. They can smile. They can help feed the poor. I mean, so they work the system. They work the system. And I have personally, you know, come across certain things. But you have the whole world that's under the influence. However, for Satan, for demons to get a hold of somebody and to use them specifically for his purposes, the person has to cooperate. You with me? Don't let this slip by. Satan doesn't just, I'll just come out on people and I'll just cover you. That's not how he works. That's not how he works. So Satan doesn't come out of the blue. He doesn't come out of the blue and overcome people. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, he doesn't do that. We have to cooperate. People have to cooperate. People make decisions that give the devil a foothold. Let me repeat that. People make decisions that give the devil a foothold. That has to happen before Satan can use them. They have to make a decision. Oh, I had a lady. I'm laughing at myself because I can't tell them all about this. But anyway, I had this lady tell me that she would go on the sidewalk, and she knew that Satan would jump out and could just grab her at any time and possess her. They could grab her at any time and possess her. That, I mean, she'd tell me that. But that's not how Satan works. Satan doesn't come out and grab you. He doesn't come out and grab lost people. He doesn't. He doesn't come out, people that don't know Jesus, well, he just comes and grabs them and they're Satan possessed. No. It doesn't work that way. They have to cooperate. They have to cooperate. They have to make a decision to cooperate. They have to give Satan a foothold. Now, I'm talking about lost and even, we'll see, believing people. And so, so you have to make a decision to give Satan a foothold. Now, the Bible warns us. The Bible warns us in Ephesians 4:27, and the NIV says it's like this. Do not give the devil a foothold. Now, I mean, that's a great picture. It's like, oh, he'll come up, grab you. No, Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a step in. That's what it said. Don't give him a step in. Do not give the devil a foothold. When the devil has a foothold, he uses it as a base to gain more influence. Now, are y'all following me here? You give him a foothold, and he uses it as a base to gain more influence. But how did he get the foothold? Tell me. How did he get the foothold? We gave it to him. But once he has it, he can use it to gain more influence. Now, so as we know that as believers, we are secure in heaven, and we don't have to worry about our security. However, even believers can give the devil a foothold, resulting in tremendous grief while they're here on earth. All right? Believers can give Satan a foothold consciously and cause us tremendous amount of grief. All right? We're safe. We're going to heaven. It's just not going to be real pleasant while we're here. Now, for the devil to carry out his evil deeds, he needs our cooperation. All right? See, and we have a great example. Now, God has given us a great example of the devil's mode of operation by examining the fall of Judas Iscariot. Beautiful example. And I believe there was a fall of Judas Iscariot. Now, Jesus knew it. I mean, he knew it was going to happen. He said, I pick one of you, and he is the devil. So he foresaw it. You know, but he fell when he came in. Did you know when they're sitting around the table and Judas, you know, God, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. Did they go, ha ha, I knew it was Jesus. I told you Judas was going to do this. It's Judas, you know. But did they do that? They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue who it was. They go, is it me? Am I going to do this? I mean, they didn't have a clue. Judas fit in. Judas worked well. Judas did all the things that all the rest of them did. And you know what? God, Jesus, put him in charge of the money bag. Anyway, that's just a side note. So, but let's look at this. So when we look at Judas, Judas fell. Okay, oh, he was always, no, he fell. Started out good, but he fell. So when we look at Judas, we can understand how Satan works and how he works with people and be aware how he can tempt believers. Okay? So, the first thing, let's look at Judas. And I'm going to read this whole section. I don't have an overhead. I think I put verse 6 as an overhead, John 12, 6. But I'm going to read the whole thing. So we're looking at how does Satan work? You know, he has a method. Did you know Satan's organized? He's organized. He has his minions in order. He delegates authority. They work. We can get all in the whole thing. So Satan is organized. So he has a method of operation that God limits him to, that he limits himself to. So here we have, we're going to give the beginning and have a clear understanding where Judas stepped off the slippery slope, stepped on it. Mary, one of Jesus' followers, took some very expensive perfume and anointed Jesus' feet and head. And wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, who was about to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for a year's wages and given to the poor? Oh my God. I mean, this guy is dripping with holiness. Oh, is he not holy? Oh my God, I bet he struts in and said, not only I'm one of the 12, I'm the best 12. Oh, you said, no, I'm so stinking holy. Don't put that on Jesus. We'll sell that and we'll give it to the poor. Beware of your religious folk. Beware of your religious folk. And put on a good show. Put on a good show. And remember, they didn't have a clue. The other 11, oh man, there Judas is. He's going, I mean, he's putting us all to shame again. So, and then he goes on to say, verse 6, he said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. Judas was in charge of the money bag. He used his position to reimburse himself for all his hard work by slipping a few bucks out of the money bag now and then. By his own volition, Judas identified his inner character. By his own volition. Satan made me do it. No. His own heart and desire. His own volition. He stole the money. He was a thief. His self-serving act gave the devil the foothold he needed. Devil's going, I got this. I got this. But Judas made the decision. And he was a thief. And he gave Satan the foothold he needed. There's a massive truth, folks. You ain't getting away with nothing. You're not. You're not. Excuse my West Texas. They come back and bite you in the butt. All right? You won't get away with nothing. And not only that, Satan goes, I got him. He didn't say he had him beforehand. I don't even know that Satan knew that Judas would do that. He doesn't have foreknowledge. Satan didn't have foreknowledge. I don't even know. But when he did that, he goes, I got him. I got my foothold in Judas, in the disciples, and into Jesus. I got my foothold. Because of Judas's own volition, he made a decision. Now, the devil could use this foothold as a base to gain more influence. It was Judas's own decision that opened the door for the devil. Judas's own decision that opened the door for the devil. So, number one, you ought to write this down. And I'm going to repeat this, but number one, we have 3 points. Well, number one point here, we need to recognize people's own decisions open the door for the devil to enter. People's own, the devil may, no, he didn't make you do nothing. People's own decisions, own desires, own wants opens the door for the devil to enter. Okay. We're talking about the devil being afraid of you. He jump up and grabbing you. He ended up grabbing nobody. Lost, saved, or anything else. It's not how he works, but he's watching. He's watching. Now, so we look here with it. Oh my God. By not repenting, now we'll see something else happen here. How many of you wondered, why did Judas do this? Why did he betray Christ? Why did he do that? No, you missed the point. He was a thief. And he was a thief because, hey, you know, I deserve a little of this money. That's why. That's the why to the whole thing. Now, here's something else that happens. Not repenting of his sin, Judas fell under greater influence. See, well, oh my God, I shouldn't do that. I repent, God. back says Satan can't take care of that. But if we don't repent of that, Satan moves in and takes greater influence. We gave him the foothold, now he's going to take greater influence. Now, the first place we see it, the first place we see it is at the first Lord's Supper. The first Lord's Supper, we see evidence. We see evidence of the devil's growing influence. You with me? Open the door. Satan got that. Now we're going to see a growing evidence by Satan. We're not talking about, you know, so much Judas's flesh and sinful desires, but we're going to see that the devil, he starts making decisions and influencing. The devil starts influencing Judas on top of his sinful nature. And here's evidence of this first, of this growing influence. John 13:2. During the supper, now this is first Lord's Supper. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. What happened? How did Judas get there? I'm asking you this because I want you to follow this truth. How did Judas get here? How did Judas get here? He gave Satan a foothold. Then Satan started gaining control and influence it. And then it somehow, some craziness, whatever he was thinking, he thought, I deserve more. I don't, you know, and I'm really, Jesus is just getting in the way here. And it, the devil goes, got him. And he puts it in the heart. You can have more of what you want now. Jesus is your obstacle. He put it in his heart. The devil put it in his heart to betray Christ. Notice, this is not just fleshly human sin of Jesus' own volition. Now, this is direct influence of the devil on Judas's heart to betray Jesus. Judas earlier compromise led him to falling into increasingly under the influence of the devil until he was blind to the evil he was doing. Lesson two. Here's lesson two. Satan's work. Lesson two. Once people open the door to the devil, they incrementally, write that word down, incrementally, I-N-C-R-E-M-E-N-T-A-L-L-Y, incrementally become capable of doing more evil than they ever imagined possible. How in the world could anybody do that? What happened to them? I knew them when they were. How could they do that? Just one day they did it. No, incrementally compromising. Satan incrementally worse and worse and worse until they would do something you can't believe. You can't believe they did what they did. Nobody jumps in A to Z. They get there incrementally. What happened? Judas is the picture. Judas, you would have, at the beginning, you're going to betray Christ. Get out of here. Ain't no way. No way. It wasn't until he gave a foothold. Satan gave incrementally, got influence, and then he got to the point that he needed to get Jesus out of the way. He is inconsistent with the things I want to do, and I got to get rid of him. And the devil goes, get rid of it. And then you can have all you want. You can have. And you know, you're a little bit smarter than the rest of these guys. You know, and Jesus is holding you back. And you can have all the things you need. Right? I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works. And it's, again, and people end up doing things you can't imagine. They do things that they couldn't imagine. All right. Now, back to Jesus. Jesus is fully aware of this betrayal. Jesus totally knows what's going on. And now, I've had people It says here that at the table, at the Lord's Supper, we see he's at the table at the Lord's Supper, and Jesus takes a piece of bread and gives it to Judas. I mean, I've read, where was Jesus sitting? Where was Judas sitting? Right beside Jesus. Jesus got up, crawled over the table, and gave a piece of bread to him. He flipped one over to John and said, catch it over there. No, Judas was sitting right beside him. And no one thought anything about it. A place of honor. And Jesus takes a piece of bread and hands it to him. Jesus knows full well what's going on. He said, here, Judas. Isn't that amazing? And then we have here John 13:27. Then after Jesus had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. Y'all get this? He didn't influence him. He didn't influence his heart. He entered him. He entered him. And Jesus said to him, after Satan entered him, what you're going to do, do quickly. Oh, we'll just trust the Lord and everything will work out and hallelujah and lead us down this path. No, Jesus is going to work and he's going to do a mighty work. But it may be a little different than what we think. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. Judas, do what you need to do. Do it quickly. Now, listen to this. And this is Satan's work. Foothold, influence, then to a point, and you possess. You own them. Now, it doesn't mean you own them so they grow fangs, horns. No. They become the smartest, most wicked, smartest, more capable person you ever come in contact with. These people have all the wisdom of the world. These people have all the evilness. These people can move within a population and deceive everybody, and no one understands. You know, there's a person like that. It happens. Described just like that. It's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is Satan incarnate. Was the Antichrist born Antichrist? No, he's a sweet little baby. You know, mom, you were trying to raise him up and go to school and get all like that. But decision by decision by decision, he gave him a foothold and influence, and he possessed him. And he carried out more evil. And his evil and his intelligence were so great that he never could be destroyed. Antichrist by human beings. You know how Antichrist is destroyed anyway? Jesus comes and breathes out and destroys him. Antichrist became untouchable. Satan took possession. Satan took possession of Judas. Jesus, do what you got to do. Do it quickly. Now listen to this. This already sends chills up here. Jesus, so you see Jesus face to face, he's right here at this last stage. Jesus gave Judas over to his own sin, and Satan entered him. Jesus gave him over. People say, Jesus doesn't give people over. These are people that don't read their Bible. These are the people that want Jesus to hold little lambs in their pocket and hold kids and all that stuff. Jesus will give a person, Jesus Christ will give a person over to their sin. And they become that sin. And you can call the person by the name of that sin. You thief, you adulterer, you whatever, whatever. You see what I'm saying? Because Jesus will give people over to their sin. He will give them what they desire here on earth. And their wisdom and their evil is unspeakable. And they're like untouchable. I mean, because they can figure everything out. Satan doesn't get backed into a corner. He fully knows how to work the corner for his benefit. So, that's frightening. A foothold. Influence. And then Jesus gives you over. Here's the morsel. Go to do what you got to do. Just do it quick. He didn't interfere with it. He just told him to do it. Now, ultimately, so here's the number three. Ultimately, repeat a little. Ultimately, there comes a point of no return. And Satan takes possession of a point. There comes a point of no return. Folks, I've heard people back, well, it's never of no return. Yes, it is. There's a point of, now we don't know what it is. There's a point of no return for God. He knows what it is. He knows what it is. And when you come to that, so ultimate, number three, you got that? There comes a point of no return, and Satan takes possession of the person. There's no repentance ever for this person from now on. No repentance. You cannot repent before the Lord. They cannot repent. Now, we don't know that, but God knows. They cannot repent. They're sold. And you know what? Judas went to the point of no return. And you know what Jesus said about Judas? Mark 14:21. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Any of you that have a problem with hell, if you have a problem with hell, Jesus didn't have a problem with hell. There's two groups of people. There are two groups of people. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born. Now, here we are. Holy tamale. I told you I'd ruin y'all's lunch. Okay. Totally ruin your lunch. Here. But we will. What did the Lord tell me this morning? You know, just me. You know, 1 Peter 5:2. It's my responsibility to shepherd the flock. This is truth. The world's not going to tell you that. In fact, I tell you what, the world's going flat nuts. I mean, they'll try to put you in jail for saying this. I mean, they don't want you in their stores. They want you nothing. They're bought in to the evil. Now we have to, that Jesus is going to move. But it's like, no. No. We need to know the truth. This is what's happening. And here it is. Here's this last closing verse. We do not need to be afraid, but we need to be aware. God says, don't worry. That's what he said. Don't worry. Rejoice always. I mean, God, you didn't read your scriptures. I mean, you're not paying attention to what you wrote. You know, what are you talking about? I'm saying rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your petitions be made known to God. And God will provide all your needs. It's going to take God. And he goes, that's right. See? So here we are. Don't need to be afraid, but we need to be aware. Fear the Lord and don't jump in thorn bushes. Oh, for believers. Okay, now unbelievers, they're setting ducks on them. But even unbelievers have consciences. It's amazing. Now, I don't know how all that works. I just don't, you know. So they people have consciences and give themselves over to it, but however God works there. But for believers, we don't jump in thorn bushes. And here it says, we'll close with James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore. Let me put therefore first. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Why? Because this is a mess. This is a flat mess. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Don't give him a foothold. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You don't say, oh, that lady, I just picture her. I'm just walking down the sidewalk. Satan's going to jump up and go, you try to be nice and pastor everyone. I don't think so, darling. No, Satan doesn't jump out and grab. He doesn't jump out from the sidewalk and grab. Satan doesn't grab anyone. He's looking for a foothold. Resist him, and he will flee. He will flee. Amen? We have nothing to be afraid of. But he is real. And don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a foothold, because he'll take it. Have you ever done something? Now, see, I can say I have. Like you do something wrong, like you mess up. Well, this one, I'll just do this. You know it's not quite right. And it's like all hell breaks loose. It's like people calling you up from another state telling you what you did wrong. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, it's bizarre. It's like, oh, man. Say, oh, he needs a foothold. All he needs is a foothold, And so he's, oh, sorry, I repent of that. God, and Satan flees. There's not even a fight. I'm fighting Satan. I have a lot of my charismatic brothers. I'm fighting Satan. What in the hell are you doing fighting Satan for? What are you doing? Resist and he flees. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're bizarre. It makes so much sense. If you read the Bible, I'm getting off base. Some of the nuttiest people I've seen about this are Christians. I mean, lost people wouldn't be as goofy as some Christians. You see what I'm saying? So read the Bible. Do what I said. Don't worry about Satan. We need to understand what he's doing, but don't just resist. He flees. See, I felt sometimes Satan, God, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. It's gone. That immediate millisecond. You see what I'm saying? Not a bad statement to teach your kids. Teach your kids. If your kids ever rebel and go out from authority, just watch them. You'll swear to God they're somebody else's kids. What happened? They come under direct influence of Satan. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, understand, why is the world so crazy? Why isn't it crazier? Why isn't it crazier? Yeah. Anyway, so hallelujah. Let's open up in word of prayer, and we know, close in a word of prayer. I'm not doing it again. I'm not opening up in a word of prayer. I'm not doing this again. We're going to close in a word of prayer, all right? But God, he says, cast all your cares upon me, for he cares for us. But there's just two groups of people. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, God. And I thank you for each person here and being able to have some fun with them and enjoy it. And God, I just ask you to just speak to us and give us strength. And Lord, I do appreciate it. We glory before you and we thank you. We thank you, dear God, and we praise you. And we ask you just speak to us and protect us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, Adam. Can I mess you up? Sure. Can I ask you? Would you play, before your songs, I want the other two, because you always pick great songs, but play He's a Good, Good Father. And then the rest of your songs. I know Adam is so nice for me to this, but this is, I mean, this is powerful. This is where we are. The world's not there. This is where we are.